Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Network. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello and welcome. Today's show is Beautiful from the Inside Out. My name is Amanda Staccato. I am a certified life coach, and my partner Frida will not be with us today, so I'll be doing this one solo, but I have lots of great information to share with you. In case it's your first time tuning in, I'll give you a brief background on myself, and then I'm going to dive right in. There's lots that we're going to cover today. So I've been a certified coach for roughly about a little over 6 years now. I primarily work with women as a catalyst to build confidence and courage. I work with women to help them let go of the fears and live a fulfilled life. I work both professionally and personally with women, so I support their businesses as well. On Facebook, I have a great woman support group. It's called Women's World of Passion, Power, and Purpose. And it's a great supportive community where I work with women and we are discussing our daily thoughts and, different struggles and things that happen in day-to-day life. So it's a great supportive environment. And I'm also the founder of both Empower Life Coach and Virtually Empowered. Empower Life Coach is working basically one-on-one with women in their personal life to create freedom and certainty and just developing their voice. And in Virtually Empowered, I'm doing the same but assisting them with their business. I have a full virtual support team that works with my clients to help them truly step into what their purpose is and freeing up their time to do so. So it's two complementary businesses that have really been rewarding. And today's topic, we're going to be talking about the power of our mind. A study that has been truly amazing to me is reading that of Dr. Daniel Amen. And if you ever read anything of his work, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, it's one of the New York Times bestsellers. It's an incredible book. And I want to share with you some of my findings and what I've learned in this book. I think that you're going to find it very interesting, and it's going to help you to see how our mind directly affects our actions. And, you know, many of us struggle with depression, anxiety. I had anxiety most of my life. And I would say that probably into my mid-20s, I used to have, maybe even 30s, I had very, very troublesome panic attacks, and it was crippling. It really toned down in my 30s. It was still present in my early 30s, but up until my 20s, it was definitely something that I struggled with. And I missed out on a lot. I missed out on doing things in groups and traveling and all the things I really loved because I let my mind take over. So studies of the mind dealing with depression and anxiety have always intrigued me. I've spent most of my life, and if you've listened to my previous shows, you may have heard me speak about this, but most of my life I had, from an early age, about 5 years old, I had been dealing with my mom, who is bipolar and struggled with depression, and I never understood why, especially as a child, why some people have to deal with this and others it never becomes an issue. So throughout most of my life, I've studied a lot of personal development and mind studies and all types of things. So the things that I'm going over today not only have influenced my life, but I'm hoping can shed some light for you into your own life as well. And in Dr. Amen's studies, he's shown that the brain is the hardware of the soul. And I thought that was just really intriguing to phrase it like that. The brain is the hardware of the soul. I mean, that's pretty powerful. Everything that goes through the brain, it determines how happy you are. It determines how well you interact with others. If you're hurt, it determines your parenting skills, your communication skills, your beliefs. And it associates different levels of pleasure and pain. So if you're coming up with different situations where you're feeling anxious, depressed, if you're prone to anger or easily distracted, you probably believe that these problems are in your head. But what his studies have proven is that the physiology can actually affect the brain. And I think this is just really powerful information here. This is not something that you hear people talk about, and people just say, oh, get over it, and they don't really tell you how to get over it. So I'm going to give you a series of, first we're going to talk about the awareness, and we are going to talk about how to pick up on automatic negative thoughts that he refers to, and how to break them down and change them. So this is, you're going to want to take notes. This is some powerful information, and it's something that you're going to want to use as a reference tool. And this can definitely help to change how you process information. And believe me, this is not something that is going to, happen overnight. This is not something that can be done just, you know, if you're taking any type of medication that it's going to, you know, you still consult your doctor, none of that changes. But this is for your own personal growth. That's simply the purpose of it, to increase your awareness and help you process and deal with things in a more positive way so that you can lead a more flourishing life. So basically in his studies, it's showing how this is linked into the limbic system. And some of the main functions of the deep limbic system are the emotional tone of the mind, how we process different events and the level of importance of the event, how we store emotionally charged memories, so how we choose to remember them, our level of motivation. It controls sleep cycles and appetite. It controls how we bond with others, so that's going to be the communication aspect. And it, which I thought was something that it's bringing in your senses, it actually directly processes the sense of smell. So if you think about the sense of smell, have you ever smelled something and immediately had an association with it? Think about that. It also controls the libido. Some of the problems that come up in the deep limbic system are moodiness, irritability, clinical depression, increased negative thinking, negative perception of events, decreased motivation, a flood of negative emotions, struggles with appetite and sleep, decreased or increased sexual responsiveness, and social isolation. So knowing this, these are all things that are going to come up that we're talking about, and those are all signs when the deep limbic system is not functioning at a peak state, and we're going to talk about how to improve that. And remember that the deep limbic system is in the center of the brain, and this is the part of the brain that is involved in setting the emotional tone. So it's power-packed with function. And you want to make sure that it is operating, like I said, at a peak state. So when you have if you ever had that I don't care attitude or felt like giving up or things don't matter, an abundance of negative feelings, that's all being drawn in from the deep limbic system. So one of the first things we're going to talk about kids automatic negative thoughts and what they are. So automatic negative thoughts, which Dr. Amen often refers to as ants, and I'm not going to probably say that often through the show because I'm sure I will confuse you, and at some point you're going to forget what ants are. So automatic negative thoughts. Automatic negative thoughts are explained as there's an overall state of mind, and your mind has a certain tone. And this is based on the types of thoughts that we have. So when the deep limbic system is overactive, it puts the mind's filter on negative. So people who are depressed and having one depressed or one negative thought after the other, it's the lens in which they see themselves. And the world may appear as gray or dark. And they are struggling with automatic negative thoughts. Automatic negative thoughts are often when they're feeling gloomy or cynical, or those complaining thoughts that just seem to be coming up on their own, and sometimes not necessarily with a strong justification behind it. So as we talk about healing the limbic system, which requires healing moment-to-moment thought patterns, you'll see how over time it can improve the quality of the thoughts themselves. An example of an automatic negative thought is when you're having a conversation and you use the phrase always or never. So if you're speaking in a way where it's just an absolute definite, this always happens to me, this never works out, no one is listening to me, everyone hates me, every single time I do this, the same thing happens. Thing is wrong, you're encompassing so much more than the actual facts. So when you use these absolute definitive statements, always, never, no one, everyone, everything, every time, it's encompassing such a large group or time frame or activity that you're leaving absolutely no room for positive actions to happen. You see how that would happen? Has anyone ever come up to you and said, you always do that to me? And you think to yourself, no, I don't. I did it one time. Maybe you're late. You're always late. Okay, well, maybe you are. But you want to make sure that you're aware of how you're speaking, how you're communicating, and you're going to notice how you're responding when others say this to you, when others are using those same key phrases. And notice, what is it actually true? Are you being accused of something that is absolutely impossible? So when this happens, you want to think something, if something's coming up and it's repeating itself, always, never, it's activating your limbic system into that negative state of mind. All these all-or-nothing phrases, he always says that, or no one ever calls me, the always and never thinking are very common examples of automatic negative thoughts. And you have to actually stop and disprove yourself that, no, this is not always happening to me. No, it's not that everyone is forgetting about me. Or, you know, you have to catch yourself when you're saying these things, and maybe even write it down before you say it and think about, is it really true? Just when you're about to use one of these things, and it takes practice because, you know, you're upset, you're in the moment, you're making a statement, and you say, you never listen to me. Is that really true? I'm sure that sometimes the person you're talking to is listening to you. But in the heat of the moment, while you're arguing, you make the statement, you never listen to me. These are absolute definitives, and chances are they're probably not true. It may happen sometimes. And you want to be clear when you're making a statement what the facts are and not to over-exaggerate it. Another example, which you want to be aware of, is focusing on the negative. If you only can find the bad in the situation, so none of us have a perfect life, and all of us struggle with different things happening from one time to another. But what's important is when you have a really crazy, difficult situation, what in this situation can you find that's good? And make a point of looking for the positive in a negative situation. If the only thing that you can see when things are presented to you is how it can go wrong and what has happened and why it's affecting you negatively, chances are that that's all you're going to see, and it's going to continue to be that way. So make sure that you can find out that you can find examples of what's positive in the situation. You can take something as difficult as, I broke my leg and I have to walk with crutches. Well, you know what? At least you have your legs. And you have to be thankful and have gratitude for the things that are working and the things that are correct in your life, and not only seeing the negative. So is it great having crutches? No. But you know what? It could be worse. So you want to always remember that there's an alternative to how you're thinking. And when you find yourself thinking about something negative, what can you find that's positive? Something you want to be careful of as well is when you're predicting something, when you are predicting the worst possible outcome of the situation. So maybe you or someone you know, there's an event coming up, or there's a fear that you have, and you're just predicting the worst possible thing that can happen. You have no proof that this is going to happen. You have no way of knowing it, but you always think the worst possible thing, or someone you know. Have you ever been around someone like that? No matter what the situation is, it could be a sunny day out, and you're on the way to the beach, and everything is great, and they say, oh, I bet you it's going to be closed when we get there. You're like, where did that even come from? They always have the worst possible situations to bring to your attention. I'm going to spend my life alone and no one is going to be with me. Or I'm going to be isolated and left with no one to take care of me. Or the extreme situations of negativity that you have no control over and you're assuming are going to happen to you can often be that as an automatic negative thought. So catching this when it happens and catching these fortune-telling, you can call it, where it really it hurts your chances for feeling good about a situation or feeling good about the future or, you know, seeing hope in the future because you've already pretty much put out there the negativity of what's going to happen. I want to point out to you, we're about 20 minutes in, and we're covering a lot of information. I don't want to go too fast, but I want to make sure I cover everything. If you have any questions about things I'm discussing, if you'd like to call in, the guest call-in number is 646-716-9397. And again, it's 646-716-9397. So moving along. Some more negative situations or more negative thoughts that you need to look out for is when you think that you can read others' minds. If you believe that you know what others are thinking, but they haven't even told you, that can get you in trouble. And I'm sure you've heard that phrase about assuming. So you really want to be careful when you believe that you know what the other person is thinking, but you never take the time to ask them. So you want to communicate with others and be curious and ask them, you know, if you have a thought on your mind, and not in a defensive way, in a curious way. Don't have assumptions that somebody's mad at you or somebody doesn't like you. In all actuality, they might have just had a bad day and not felt like talking. It might have had nothing to do with you, but we can create these stories in our minds that can shift the way the rest of our day goes, and for no reason. So you want to be careful with that. And the mind reading can really start to just snowball. And the next thing you know, you're going to find yourself with those assumptions of he doesn't like me or they're not talking to me. the next thing you know, it snowballs and you're telling someone else that this person doesn't like you, but for no reason. You don't have anything to base it on. So you want to be really careful with that. Another example of an automatic negative thought is thinking with your feelings. So what does that mean? It means that believing your negative feelings, but never questioning them, just taking them as a fact and never wondering where it comes from or why you feel a certain way. And feelings have many layers to them. Where is the feeling coming from? Why do you feel a certain way? Is it true? Is it something that's happening to you right now? Or is it something that happened to your past that really has nothing to do with the situation? So being aware when you have a negative feeling, where is it coming from? And if you make statements that are something as definitive of as, you know, I feel like a failure, or I feel like nobody loves me, or no one trusts me, well, where is this coming from? Instead of just saying it and then believing it, where is this based on? Is there an event that happened, or is this true? And really looking at it and thinking about where this feeling is coming from, because it could just be an automatic thought, an automatic negative thought. And by going into that default of negativity, you can also isolate yourself, because there is mind reading, there is assumption, and there is an absolute thinking feelings without facts behind it. So you can see how this is all compiling into, and it can snowball, and one can lead to the next. Another one that you want to talk about is guilt. And overwhelming yourself with things such as using statements like, I should, I must, I have to, I ought to. And it's almost like you're guilting yourself into a situation, and that's not going to be a positive emotion for you. You don't want to use the guilt, because often when you use guilt, do things that you don't want to do. And this happens when you think with words like, I should, I must, I ought to, I have to. I have to spend more time with my family. I have to organize my office. You're only doing it because you think that this is what you're supposed to do. But you can change it. And you can say, I want to spend more time at home. I want to spend time with my family. I enjoy having an organized office. Because saying it in a state of mind with guilt attached to it is not productive. So you want to get rid of the unnecessary emotional aspect of it, and that's going to hold you back from achieving your goals that you want to achieve. So you're not doing something because you have to. You're not doing something. It almost sounds like a child, too. Oh, I have to do this. No, you want to do it because you want to do it. You would like to do it. You enjoy doing it. And how you explain the activity is directly how going to impact how you feel about the activity. Ooh, I need some water. And if we have any callers, again, I'm going to put the number out there before diving into the next topic, 646-716-9397. We're just about halfway through the show. So we've covered a lot of information here. I'm going to do a quick recap before I go any further. So we talked about the power of using phrases like always and never in your thinking. We talked about what happens when you focus on the negative in a situation and only seeing the bad in the situation. We talked about what happens when you predict or assume the worst possible outcome. We talked about what happens when you try to mind read and you kind of guess what people are thinking and what their thoughts are. We talked about believing negative feelings and never questioning them. And lastly, we talked about feelings that are associated with guilt phrases such as should, must, ought to, and have to. Next, we're going to move on to labeling. And labeling is attaching a negative label to yourself or a negative label to someone else. So what happens is whenever you detach a negative label to yourself or someone else, you no longer have the ability to take a clear look at the situation. And some examples are you call someone a jerk. You call someone arrogant. Well, besides that these labels are harmful, you're also lumping that person in your mind with all of the other jerks out there. And you never are able to truly deal with the individual, and you're putting them into a category without even exploring who they are. That person that you thought was a jerk might have just had a bad day. That person that you thought was a jerk may have responded to something that you said that kind of turned them off to you. So you want to be careful about labeling someone, because it's an unnecessary negative connotation that you're associating with a person and putting them into a pool of other people that you've previously labeled in that same category, which makes them creates a distance between you and them. You also want to be careful about personalizing. And you want to be careful when you're associating personal meaning to things, meaning that personalizing occurs when you invest innocuous events with a personal meaning. So something as simple as they didn't say good morning to me, and you just assume they must have been mad at you. But in actuality, that event is because they were preoccupied in thinking of the upcoming meeting or something they had to do, and it absolutely had nothing to do with you, but you personalized the behavior of another individual and immediately assumed it had something to do with you with no facts behind it. So it ties into, similarly, the other that we talked about where we're assuming actions. This is now assuming events that transpire have something to do with you personally. So try not to personalize the behavior and events of others, and don't make it about yourself. So you're detaching yourself from those activities. One of the worst automatic negative thoughts that you need to be aware of is blaming. Blaming someone else for your own problems. How many times have you met someone and it's never their fault? They think that everything that happened in their life is because of something that their mother did to them, their father did to them, their child did to them, their boss did to them, their husband did to them, their boyfriend did to them. It's everybody else's fault. But they never look to see where they can take ownership and responsibility for the situation and move on. So blame can be very harmful when you blame something or someone else for the problems in your life. And what happens is you become a passive victim of circumstance and make it very difficult to do anything to change your situation, because you accept the blame as a fact and blame as your story. And you become passive in taking any action to do anything otherwise. So a lot of relationships are ruined by this very thing, because the person or the individual is blaming their partner, blaming a friend, blaming a coworker when things go wrong, and they're not taking responsibility for what they did and their contribution to whatever the problem was. So when something goes wrong in your life, whether it be at work or home or anywhere, if you are often finding someone else to blame and not admitting your own fault in a problem, you may have statements that you use, how was I supposed to know? Or it's your fault because, or that only happened because, you know, starting sentences out like that are a key indicator that blame is a problem for you. So when you blame someone else for problems in your life, you become absolutely powerless to change anything. And you can't change it because you don't believe it's your fault. So the blame game not only hurts you, but it hurts your personal sense of power. And when you stay away from blaming thoughts, you actually have the personal responsibility for your problems, and you hope and desire to change them. Does that make sense? This is some of any of the examples that they gave, this is absolutely probably the number one automatic negative thought that you need to be careful of. So we're going to talk now about how to stop these automatic negative thoughts. When you notice an automatic negative thought, you need to stop them immediately. If you don't, they're going to affect your relationships, your work, and most of your life. Negative thinking is something that happens automatically and can go unnoticed. So you want to teach yourself to control these direct thoughts in a positive way so that you can start to feel better about a situation. So when you notice an automatic negative thought coming into your mind, you want to start to train yourself to recognize it, write it down, and then take your time to respond to it properly. So some examples that you can think of is an automatic negative thought: you never listen to me. The part when you say never, that's the problem right there. Always and never are statements that you don't want to make because it's an automatic negative thought. You want to change that. So how would you express to someone that you're frustrated with that you feel is not listening to you? Well, instead of saying that you never listen to me, you can say, I get frustrated when you don't listen to me, but I know that you're trying, or I need you to hear what I'm saying. You're not making this a final statement. When you say never, you're discounting all of the other times that they actually listen to what you're saying. You're discounting all the effort they put into communicating with you just because a few times they didn't seem present. Maybe they were watching the football game and they didn't hear what you had to say. But when you had dinner last night, they were talking to you over dinner and heard everything that you said. So you don't want to, and that's going to cause an argument as well, and it's going to make a situation worse that doesn't have to be. So let them understand, with a balanced thought in mind, you're simply telling them, I get frustrated when you don't listen to me. I value your opinion. And let them know why it's important for you to be heard. Something as, my boss doesn't like me. Well, now you're assuming and you're mind reading. So in your mind, you want to reframe that and say, no, the thought pops in, and you, in your mind, you say, my boss doesn't like me. And stop yourself. You say, you know what, I don't really know that. Maybe she's just having a bad day. When you're taking that off, you're taking off that negative edge to it, and you're making it more practical, and you're balancing your mind. If you say something that, they're going to laugh at me. Everyone is going to laugh at me. Well, when you say everyone's going to laugh at me, you're predicting something, not knowing what's really going to happen. Well, you want to actually say to yourself, is that true? It can't be true. It's not a fact. It hasn't happened yet. So, no, it's not true. And maybe they'll actually like what I have to say. And that's going to feel a lot better for you going into a situation. So even when you're labeling, another example is labeling we talked about. If you even label yourself and you call yourself, you know, I'm stupid. Is that true? always ask yourself, when you have a statement, is it true? And in reality, when you think about it, well, there's some things that I don't know, but I enjoy learning. Big difference in calling yourself stupid. Labeling is very damaging, whether you use it for yourself or you use it for others. If you have a situation maybe in your relationship, oh, it's all your fault. Okay, now you're blaming. How do you solve that? Is it really all their fault? I bet you did something. The person was late. Maybe you didn't communicate effectively what time they were supposed to be there. Is the person short-tempered with you? Well, how are you communicating your needs? Are you putting them on defense? Look for where you can take responsibility in the situation and how can you make it better. And you want to be sure that you look at your part of the problem. It takes two. So it's not always the other person. What can you do better for next time? Next, you want to make sure that you surround yourself with positive people. I'm sure that you've heard that we are the 10 people that we surround ourselves with, you're most likely to replicate or most likely to act like. What I recommend that you do, and sooner than later, is list the 10 people that you spend the most time with in your life and make a note of how they support you and the ways in which you would like to be supported more. So if you think of life as an obstacle course, it's easy to see that fewer obstacles in the road, the better. Negative people present unnecessary obstacles for you to overcome because you have to push your way to succeed over their doubts, over their objections, over their cynical behavior, and they make it really difficult. So spending time with these people who believe that you'll never amount to anything is only going to hurt your enthusiasm, and it's going to dissuade you from pursuing your goals and make it difficult to move through life in the direction that you truly want to go. So on the flip side, if you have people who are constantly instilling confidence and hope and have that really strong can-do attitude, those are the people that you want to be spending time with because they're going to uplift your spirits and they're going to breathe life back into your plans and dreams. And, you know, it can be difficult deciding that you don't want to spend time with the people that you have been because it's causing an adverse effect on your life. But spending time with the people who enhance the quality of your limbic system rather than those who cause it to become inflamed, you're going to find it's going to be extremely beneficial to you. You also want to build people skills to enhance the limbic bonds. So what does that mean? It means that it's proven that enhancing the emotional bonds between individuals is going to help heal your limbic system. So that means that the better that you're getting along with those around you, the better you're going to feel. Do you have any friends that you see them and it's like your tank is refueled and you just feel so good after spending time with them? That's because you're actually healing your limbic system. So you want to really be aware of how you feel when you're spending time with others because it should be a healthy and rewarding experience. So some things to keep in mind is take responsibility for keeping your relationships strong and not by instigating blame, but taking responsibility for a relationship and how you can improve it. So having the highest quality of relationships with those around you and those in your life. And not taking it for granted. In order for relationships to be special, they need nurturing. They don't just run on their own. They need effort and they need care and they need love. Regardless of what type of relationship it is, it takes effort and communication to have a nurturing, healthy relationship. And that relationship you want to protect. A way that you can absolutely hurt a relationship is to belittle them, degrade them, feel irrelevant. You want to make sure that you're building that other person up. that you're supporting them. And chances are, if you're doing that for someone else, in turn, they're probably going to do it for you. Assume the best. When there is a question of motivation or intention, assume the best about the other person. This is going to help the behavior to be more positive. So when a situation happens and the person walks by and doesn't say hello to you, oh, they must be really busy today. You know, I'm looking forward to talking to them later. Instead of making up a story and assuming, oh, they don't want to talk to me, they don't like me. Well, that's just, you're just adding fuel to an unnecessary fire. Keep the relationships around you fresh. When a relationship starts to become stagnant and boring, that's when they become vulnerable to an erosion. So you want to look for new and different ways to add life into your relationships. And this, again, applies to all of your relationships. You want to make sure, are you doing things to keep it exciting, to keep it fun? Are you spending time together, doing different activities? Nurture the relationship. And notice the good in the relationship. You know, it's very easy to notice when you don't like something, but how often do you tell people what you do like? People find it very easy to nitpick and complain and point out the bad. Just like a business. If you have a business and people don't like one thing, they are so quick to jump on the internet and complain about you, but they don't have that same passion to write the good. Same in your relationships. Make sure that you communicate clearly and accentuate the positive. Notice the positive and appreciate the positive. Take time to really listen and understand what people are saying to you and learn. Take time to learn and understand about them. Get curious. Have very fulfilling and deep relationships. Surface relationships do not give you that same nurtured feeling where your tank is refueled as surface conversations. Have you noticed with society, this is one of my biggest pet peeves, text messaging. Have you tried online dating and text messaging? It's my biggest pet peeve. People just don't have conversations anymore. Everything takes place with a text message and getting to know you through text and ask you out on a text. And what happened to good old-fashioned conversation that you sit down face-to-face, no TV, no distractions, and just talk to each other? Almost non-existent. That's what we need more of. And if you find that you are not nurturing that aspect of communication in your life, you're missing out on a lot. You want to deal with difficult issues. Deal with it head on, nip it in the bud, don't over-dramatize, and avoid massive conflict by building it up and letting it turn into more than it is. So handle it for what it is, not what it could be, not for all of the things that it has the potential of mixing together. Deal with the situation at the moment and let it go. Don't compile, don't snowball all of the problems into one big problem and then try to handle it. Deal with it, talk about it, communicate, let it go. Very important. Make time. Make time for each other, especially in relationships. Many couples who, you know, people, most relationships now, both people work and have children often, who find themselves growing apart because they don't have time for each other. When they spend time together, then they realize and they remember how much they like each other because they haven't seen each other. And how great would it be to make that same feeling, to repeat it as often as possible? And it's not only in relationships in of the romantic nature, but in friendships. You know, how often are you taking the time to welcome your friendships into your life and interact in a live one-on-one conversation or activity? You know, okay, we have, you know, there's something that happens with social media where you can just check on social media, see what's been going on in your friends' lives, and not see them but feel connected. But it's not true connection. It's not nurturing. It's not giving you the same feeling as spending time together. So if you find yourself hiding between something like that, social media, emails, text messages, make sure that you make time for the people that you care about in your life, because it makes a difference. Physical contact. Physical contact is extremely important, and it could be something as simple as giving a hug to someone that you care about. It doesn't have to be a romantic partner. Giving a hug to people that you care about. A gentle, nurturing support, touching, someone's arm, getting a hug from your son or daughter, even something as simple as getting a massage on a regular basis. It enhances the limbic system and helps with the healing process. So what happens is the deep limbic system is not only involved in the emotional bonding at that point, but it's also involved with the physical bonding. And the actual physical touching is essential to good health. So physical connection becomes a critical element for a parent-infant bonding process. It's the sweet, the eye contact or the hugging or the love. It's extremely nurturing. And that's something that when that love and affection is not present for a baby, that they feel lonely and they become irritable and unresponsive because they don't feel love. And it's not really that much different for adults. For proper bonding to occur, a couple needs to hold each other, kiss each other, say sweet words, have that loving eye contact. And that physical manifestation, when not being reciprocated, can make the other partner feel rejected, can make them feel hurt, and eventually can cause a distance and a broken bond in the relationship. So you can see how the connection of a child can be the same as an adult when physical expression is not present. I'm going to give you one last opportunity to call in before we wrap up. We have about 10 minutes left in the show, and we have about 4 more topics to cover, but in case you have any questions and you're just tuning in, feel free to give me a call at 646-716-9397. So next, we are going to talk about how it benefits you when you surround yourself with great smells and how certain smells can affect your mood. So when you have the right smell, you actually cool the deep limbic system. So some fragrances are considered pleasing and anti-inflammatory. So if you surround yourself with sweet fragrances and other pleasant smells like flowers, assuming you don't have allergies, you are actually the working of your brain in a very positive way. So have you ever entered a room and perfect example would be you go into a spa and you walk in and you smell eucalyptus, and immediately you feel relaxed. Well, the limbic system, the deep limbic system is at work. And it's a part of your brain that directly processes the smell. So certain perfumes or soaps have a very attractive smell, while unpleasant odors are repellent. And so in aromatherapy, special fragrances are used in steam machines and baths and pillows and potpourris to attract a certain feeling. So having the eucalyptus and having maybe lemongrass and some of those clean scents bring you, or lavender is extremely popular. It's very relaxing and soothing and healing that people enjoy to smell usually. a lot of times cinnamon is something that's very common, and cinnamon is something that, believe it or not, people consider a natural aphrodisiac for men. And in some cultures, they actually put that on the forehead of the woman. And they joke and say, you know, that's why they have larger families, because the cinnamon is an aphrodisiac. So I thought that was pretty interesting when I was reading about different aromas. But many people also notice that certain smells might trigger a memory. So maybe there's something that you have a really good memory and you associate that smell with, and it's anchored into you. Well, that activates the neural circuits in the deep limbic system, and it brings about an actual recall of the events, and, you know, it can give you a great clarity by smelling certain things. So having that awareness when you're smelling things and what it does for you and that connection. You also want to make sure that you have a good reference of memories. Have a library of reference tools of really positive memories. So take some time and write down some pleasant memories about people, events, and have those kind of on standby for you so that you can tune in to improve your mental status. What happens is when you do this, the brain takes on the same chemical patterns that were inputted at the time of the healthy event. So in order to balance the bad memories and heal the deep limbic part of the system, you also need to remember the times of life that were charged with positive emotions. So it's similar to what we talked about in past episodes of negative and positive emotions, that you need to have 11 positive emotions to overcome a negative emotion. This is very similar. So what you want to do is you want to make a list of, let's say, 10 of the happiest times in your life. Describe them in explicit detail. Even incorporate your five senses. What colors do you remember? What smell was in the air? Was there any music? What did you hear? And make that memory really come to life. So in a metaphorical sense, you're going through your library shelves of daily experiences and looking for the right book. And if you were involved in maybe, say, a long-term relationship with someone, recollecting the history of your happy times together is going to enhance the bond that you both have. So that's something that you can actually sit down and do with your partner and just sit down and go down memory lane and remember all the great things that you did together, and automatically it's going to trigger that warm and positive feeling. So you want to take time to recall these positive events. If you're only thinking about the bad things, your brain's emotional filter is going to be set to actually keep out the good memories. And who wants to do that? You want to remember these things. So for those of us who do not have to battle depression on a daily basis, we may still find ourselves in states more negative in our lives that actually warrant it. But when unfortunate things do happen, we might go on thinking about them for longer than it's really helpful to solve the situation. So you want to make sure that you balance the bad memories and heal that deep limbic part of the brain. So it's important to remember the times of life that were charged with the positive emotions. If you're only focusing on the negative activities and the negative stories in your life, it's going to outweigh the positive, and it's going to be harder for those reference points of positive emotions to kick in. So you want to really be aware of that. You can also use physical exercise. So physical exercise can be really healing to the deep limbic system. What happens is when you exercise, it releases endorphins, and that induces a sense of well-being. So the deep limbic system has these endorphin receptors, they call it. And when we exercise, it increases blood flow throughout the brain, and it becomes nourished and it functions better. So people who tend to exercise more often have overall general sense of well-being much higher than those who have a sedentary lifestyle. So you want to incorporate more exercise into your life and with a more healthy diet. And it's proven to show that those same people that do that have better sleep. Why? Because they are nourishing the deep limbic system. So this is even more important for people who are unable to tolerate even antidepressant medication. I'm not a doctor, I'm not telling you to stop taking medication, but in certain instances, with a doctor's supervision, it's been shown that instead of taking the medication, some people are able to treat themselves just with a really good, strenuous exercise routine. So that's something that you want to talk to the doctor about and let the doctor work on that with you. It's not something that you do on your own. And that's very, very important. You never, ever make those decisions without speaking to your doctor. But it's something that even if it's a situation that you're on medication, but you do this activity in addition to, of course, you know, that's fine as long as you're, you know, in physical health approved by your doctor to do so. But in the fast pace of modern life, people have these long work hours and then they sit in a rush hour commute and, you know, maybe they're single parent. So all these things are taking away from the time that essentially should have been put aside for exercise or personal care. So it's important not to leave that out because some people find that, especially those who exercise often, when they don't exercise, that they become stressed out or tense or anxious and different emotions come into play. So you want to make sure that you keep that active in your daily life. And it could be anything. It could be work, you know, walking, going to the gym, running, dancing, cycling, yoga, whatever it is that you choose to do, but that's going to help to heal the limbic system. And lastly, you want to watch your limbic nutrition. So what does that mean? Our deep limbic system needs fat in order to operate properly. So you want to use the good fats, of course. And that would be the omega-3 fatty acids, which is mostly prevalent in fish. And protein is also essential to a healthy deep limbic diet. And as we know, proteins are the building blocks of brain neurotransmitters. So low levels of dopamine, serotonin, they have all been implicated in depression and mood disorders. So often if you don't have enough protein, it could leave you with a brain protein deficiency. And some areas, depending on, you know, your personal diet, whether you be a vegan or you eat meat or chicken, some things that you can find the richest sources of protein in are lean fish, cheese, beans, and nuts. Find that low serotonin levels are often associated with things such as worrying, moodiness, emotional rigidity, irritability, and you want to work on enhancing your serotonin levels. And in order to do so, you want to do something that's maybe have a balanced meal that includes a complex carbohydrate snack and helps to balance the mind. These are all things that you can do to work on balancing the mind, letting go of these automatic negative thoughts, and having the awareness. Don't expect that because you listen to this show and you have the awareness that it's going to fix itself overnight. This is something that if you didn't take notes on, you're going to want to go back and listen to a second time and put it into action. That's most important. So I want to wrap this up and let you know that our next show is going to be on, it's called Reveal Your Excellence, and that's going to be with Renee Ellison. It's on the 20th. And you want to make sure that you tune in for that show. It's going to be a great show. She's going to talk about basically the nuts and bolts of starting a business. So if you're interested in becoming a business owner and starting your own business, it's a show that you really want to tune into. And that's going to be on Saturday at 10 a.m. As far as my next show, it's going to be on November 3rd. And we were going to do it today. We postponed it. Unfortunately, Freedom, my co-host, had a class. So we're going to be doing it November 3rd, and it's going to be all about forgiveness. That's going to be a great show. You're not going to want to miss out. And I want to thank you for joining. If you want have any questions, if you want to email me directly, my email address is amanda@empowerlifecoach.com. That is also my website, empowerlifecoach.com. And if you'd like to be a part of a wonderful community with ongoing support, I have a great women's group. And again, that is on Facebook. It is Women's World to Passion, Power, and Purpose. So I look forward to speaking with you or hearing from you at our next event. Feel free to leave comments below if you have any questions at all. And I will be talking with you in 2 weeks. Have a great night.